The terrain around the edge of Nagasaki was rough. JB's WAG was one of those with the farthest distance to go, as it had to scout 180 degrees until it was directly in line with the only track leading in and out of the ville. JB looked around the WAG at the other riders. Esquivel looked serene, shutting out everything around him in order to concentrate on the fight ahead. Ali shot JB a look and managed a brief nod of acknowledgement.
We're here. You want to take a quick recon? We got 8 minutes till the attack begins. Maybe you could look at the land and see if you can work out where your people are.
Thanks.
Keeping an eye on his wrist gron, JB made his way toward the ridge that led down into the valley where Nagasaki lay. As he neared the edge, he dropped onto his haunches and then his belly. He turned to find Esquivel and Ali beside him.
You think you're the only one who wants to know where he's going, dude?
You don't have to do this.
Yeah, but maybe we want to.
Anyway, you forgot these.
Esquivel handed JB a pair of binoculars.
I knew the driver had them, and the stupid bastard wouldn't think of giving them to anyone unless he was told.
I owe you one, S.
Of course you do, Skip. You might have to haul my golden brown ass out of trouble down there.
I reckon the distance from the ridge to the center of the ville to be less than a mile or so. Enough to get across quickly, but also enough for plenty of people to be chilled in the time it took.
The outer edges of the ville seemed deserted, and it looked as though there had been a fire in the barn structure, as a pall of thick black smoke hung over it, partly obscuring what lay beyond. It seemed that the entire ville was concentrated in one sector, a clearing just beyond the barn, and in front of an old pre-dark ranch house that seemed to be the center point of Nagasaki. The ville dwellers seemed to be listening to a fat man who marched up and down in front of them. 5 people hung by their wrists from a crossbeam that had been hastily erected. JB could see who they were, even from here. He checked his chron. 2 minutes to the attack. The good news was that they appeared to be alive. The bad news was that it would be easy for the Nagasaki inbreeds to chill them as soon as the attack began. A branding iron hit Mildred in the ribs. It was almost a playful blow, designed to hurt, but not to cause any great damage. Buckley strutted up and down in front of the line. After overpowering the companions, the Nagasaki dwellers had hastily erected the framework to which the companions were now tied.
I hope y'all are real cold. We got a little something to talk to y'all about. Quiet, everyone! Now, I'm a fair man, as y'all know, and I say we give these shit heaps a fair trial. Question is, did these fuckers sell us out by telling the Duma scum we was coming? Now, that's a hard answer to know, except for one thing. Who let our little prisoner go?
Buckley held up his hands to silence them.
That's right! That's right! The Outlanders let the prisoner go! They screwed up our raid and got us chilled! And they are guilty as charged. I say the penalty for such an offense is capital. They buy the farm by being pounded on and having their guts spilled on the ground, their bowels laid out in front of them. But first, we'll have ourselves some fun, right?
Buckley took a step toward the companions and pulled out a metal pipe with which to begin the beatings. The mob picked up cudgels, sticks, and blades.
Out! 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 Get an M203 on that now!
The WAG swept easily down the valley and into the rear of the ville, careening into shacks and sending them flying into splinters of wood, carving a path through the Spartan back of Nagasaki. There was no opposition, as everyone was gathered in the square by the ranch house.
What if there's anyone in that barn?
It ain't who I'm after! Fuck 'em!
The sec man shrugged. Their orders were to level the ville, and the only people Esquivel would look to rescue were those his friend was looking for. He stepped aside as a heavy-set sec man carrying an M16-M203 combo dismounted and took up a firing stance on one knee, loading a Gren into the bottom rack of the gun.
Make it two. Take the bastard out quick. Fire, then cover.
The blast ripped the wooden structure apart, wood and shards of metal flying in all directions. The SecMan, JB, and the rest of the WAG crew hit the ground. Looking up, JB could see that the barn had almost disintegrated, the front and back ripped apart by the blast, with only remnants of the sidewalls left standing. The moat was still in the way, so JB gestured to the SecMan, dividing them into two parties.
Take the track each side. They all look like they're in the center, but don't be taken by surprise. Watch for your own. It's going to get hard to see who's who in there.
The WAG crew did as ordered, and JB set off with one half, joined by Ollie and Escavel. They took the track to the left of the barn, moving on the double. As far as JB could tell, the sec detail on the other side of the old barn was making unhindered progress. But it was hard to tell, since the smoking wreck of the barn made it impossible to see across the gap. Then, as if on cue, the other WAGs roared in from their positions on the ridge of the valley, speeding down and into the ville. The WAG taking the only road in had the quickest route and squealed to a halt at the head of the square. The mob of gaping, slack-jawed inbreds was still focused on the five prisoners, unable to comprehend what was happening. They were easy meat for the first wave. At the same time, the other WAG slid down the sides of the valley and careered into the shacks. The WAG riders kept their engines gunning and blasted through any obstructions. The WAGs skirted the ranch house, taking the dirt path around it. Each crew discharged from the WAG had clear shots at the backs of the ville dwellers. The SecMen from Duma made one mistake. They broke rank and started to close in on the crowd, putting themselves in the line of their compatriots' fire. The SecMan moving among them now made it impossible for the Sec force on the margins to fire at will on the inbreds. They had to pick their shots with greater care, and this gave the ville dwellers a chance to regroup. The companions were only dimly aware of what was going on. But when the gunfire was directly around them, the companions realized that the problem was now how to avoid being hit when you were trussed and hanging in one spot. Doc was nearly unconscious, but the other four were able to rouse themselves. As they opened their eyes, they were able to take in what was happening around them and recognize the SecMan moving among the crowd by their uniforms.
Fight back, damn you! Shoot the bastard!
Buckley's people carried guns as well as blades, and it took them a matter of moments to move into a position where they could fight back. Ignoring the gunfire that rippled all around them, they swarmed over the oncoming Sec force, engaging them in hand-to-hand combat as well as exchanging gunfire. The Duma Sec force was unprepared for that, and they attempted to use their long rifles at close range. The Nagasaki fighters brought their blades into play, slashing at their opponents and using their handguns to fire into the bodies of the oncoming Sec men. A blast of SMG fire conveniently splintered the crosspiece of the frame from which the companions were hanging, causing it to give way under the combined weight. It snapped off at one end, sending the companions crashing down. Their wrists slid down the pole until they were tangled in a heap. Jack could hardly move his arms from the strain on his shoulders. Ryan passed his wrists over any obstruction until his hands were free. Ryan scrabbled in the dust with nerveless, bloodless fingers, trying to get a grip on at least one of the nails they had put aside as a last resort. He managed to keep hold of a few and worked at the rope still tying his wrists, working the sharpened nails between the hemp strands. Mildred could see what he was doing and copied him, grabbing at the scattered nails to begin on her own wrists, ignoring the pain. Doc was too far gone to notice what was happening, and Jack was still struggling to move his painfully locked arms and shoulders. Over at the edge of the clearing, now a heaving mass of hand-to-hand combat, JB looked frantically for any sign of his friends. In the confusion of the melee, he had not seen the post fall.
Where the hell are they?
Dude, they may have put them in the ranch house of theirs. You and Ollie go and scout it out.
What about you?
I'm gonna try and get these stoops organized and haul some asses out of here.
We'll recon the house, then join you.
While Ollie and JB sprinted toward the ranch house, Escavel turned to his troops.
Soldiers, fall into formation! The WAG crew will walk around the perimeter. We'll tighten the noose around the remaining muties, drawing them into a circle where we can wipe them out!
The ranch house was eerily quiet when Ollie and JB went inside.
What kind of shit do these fuckers live in?
Their own. I'll take down here. You take the upper level. Be careful. I think they're all outside, but we don't know.
Ollie climbed the stairs, the Weatherby unslung and ready to fire at anything in his way. Taking the downstairs rooms, JB could see that all of them were empty. He came to the locked room where the archive of the Ville's history lined the walls. He kicked down the door and threw himself back against the wall to one side, expecting an attack, but there was nothing. Cautiously, he entered the room and stopped dead when he saw the walls covered with photographs of rad victims.
JB, up here!
JB raced to the stairs. He stopped dead as he entered the first room on the second floor. There was a collection of weapons and blades and a med satchel in one corner, and beside them, a patched and metal-covered camo jacket and a bearskin coat that he recognized all too well.
I know it ain't them, but at least we got their weapons.
Ollie started to gather the ordnance. He handed the satchel, coat, and jacket to JB. As JB took them, he glanced out the second-story window to the battle below. Outside, Esquivel's tactic had taken effect. There had been Duma casualties in the combat, but the Sec Force was gradually separating from the Nagasaki fighters, driving them back into a tighter and tighter circle. There was only one problem, and JB saw it clearly now. His companions were in the center of it all. While Mildred cut loose Doc and helped Jack, Ryan and Christy, who had already freed themselves, were working at keeping the Nagasaki fighters at bay.
Shit! There they are! They're down in the middle of the shooting! Let's go!
JB and Ollie burst from the house, running to apprise Esquivel of the situation.
Stop! Stop! Y'all wouldn't want to kill those who helped y'all, would you?
Hold fire! Hold fire!
As JB and Ollie reached Esquivel, he gestured for them to stay silent.
Explain yourself!
You know, like we does, that y'all found out about our raid because you was told by snakes among us. The Outlanders. Well, I got them right here. And I'm a fair man. Y'all let us go, we'll hand them over. Y'all take them and go, leave us in peace, we let you go. I swear to God.
Why should I believe you?
Because we got everything to lose. Y'all got nothing.
What makes you think I even want them?
Maybe y'all don't, but shit, I got nothing else to offer.
Send them out.
The companions found themselves manhandled by the remains of the Nagasaki fighters, who shoved them through the crowd and threw them one by one out in front of the Duma Sec Force. Sprawled, dazed, and confused on the blood-soaked earth, Ryan looked up and caught sight of JB.
JB?
I'll explain later. Just get your asses over here.
The companions straggled across the no-man's land to JB's side. As soon as they were safe, Esquivel raised his arm to give the order to fire.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Wait a minute. Wait a damn minute. You said you'd let us go.
I lied.
Esquivel dropped his arm.
Let's lever this pest hole. Burn everything so there's no trace of it ever having been here.
Noble words for someone who just chilled an entire village.
Don't think I enjoyed it, and don't think it was easy, dude. Consider that poor bastard that Malloy ran into. Think about how many other poor fuckers have ended up like that, or worse.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
We do what we have to do.
Esquivel sent the men out along the shantytown, pouring oil and tallow on the dirt in the wrecked shacks, distributing fused plastics along the way, and using some of the Ville's own grens to mine areas where there were still shacks standing after the invasion. The ranch house was mined and fuses set. Esquivel ran over to the wag where JB and Ollie were with the companions. JB handed Esquivel two small canisters from his canvas bag.
Sec Force, withdraw to the ridge! We're done here!
They had 5 minutes to get clear, ample time if they moved on the double. Esquivel joined JB and Ollie and the companions in the wag that took the dirt track leading in and out of the Ville and retreated to the ridge, where they came to a halt. Esquivel studied his wrist chron, counting off the remaining minutes. When the 5 minutes had elapsed, Esquivel exited the wag and walked to the edge of the ridge. The valley formed a shallow pan, and the Ville lay in the center. he let the first canister fly, tossing it with all his strength. It took a high, looping trajectory, landing on the edge of the vill. But when it landed, nothing happened. JB appeared at Esquivel's elbow, holding Ollie's Weatherby. It was a good long-range hunting rifle, and Esquivel understood immediately what JB intended. He nodded and launched the second canister high into the air, looping out over the vill. JB sighted the Weatherby, and the canister exploded into a ball of liquid fire. Flames ignited the oil beneath, spreading trails of fire across the vill. The fires and explosions leveled what was left of the ranch house and the barn, and eradicated all trace of the strange vill of Nagasaki.
Nice shot, JB. Come on, let's go home.
It took several days for the companions to be restored to a reasonable state of health. The wounds inflicted by the Nagasaki dwellers had become infected, and Doc was still suffering from shock. Jack's left shoulder had been dislocated. But rest, a warm environment, and food and water contributed much to their recovery. The main shock was seeing JB alive again. They had resigned themselves to his death, and it took Doc a while to trust his own senses. JB didn't see much of them. He was put in a difficult position. There were a lot of things about Duma that he didn't like, and despite the manner in which he had been greeted by the Baron, he found that he didn't trust Xander at all. At the same time, the memories that had come flooding back to him when he saw Ryan didn't seem real. They felt like stories that had been told to him. He felt that he had to accept them as his past, yet he found that he didn't really believe them. Being in the same room as the five people he had spent so long traveling with seemed bizarre. On the surface, JB went about his business in the armory and fended off Xander's questions. The Baron still trusted Grant. JB had his own ideas on why that should be, and knew that it may prove dangerous if Xander persuaded them to stay. Meanwhile, Bud had accepted JB, and working in the armory was better than before. Ollie was keen to learn, and Esquivel was no longer his permanent shadow. But that left no one for JB to really talk to, except Ella May. The mechanic hadn't forgiven him for laying her out before the raid on Nagasaki, and had been steering clear of him. But JB tracked her down and tried to explain the position he now found himself in.
And you trust me?
I have to trust someone.
That'll have to do, I guess. I'm surprised it's me, though. Why not S?
I haven't seen much of him since he was taken off my back.
Yeah, he's too busy right now. Word has it that he's gonna replace Hammock after the job he did cleaning out that shithole vill.
Ella May took JB's hand and made him look directly at her.
Look, you know how I feel. But that's not the reason I'm going to say this. I reckon you should get the hell out of here. If it turns out Xander wants the one-eyed man to head up sick, then S won't be too bothered. But Grant will. And that could mean some kind of war you'll end up in. Face it, you don't like this place. And the last thing you want is another stupid battle.
Anyone would think you want to get rid of me.
You know that ain't it, babe. But maybe it would be best for everyone.
Can't say it hadn't occurred to me. But how can we do it without Xander raising hell?
Leave that to me. I haven't lived here all my life without learning something.
Xander finally saw the companions on the fourth day after the attack. Grant was by his side. He pumped them for all they knew about Traitor. Ryan fed the Baron the stories he wanted to hear.
I heard something a while back. Some people have claimed to have seen Traitor. He doesn't operate in the same way anymore. It's like he's on some kind of quest, I guess. But I wouldn't be surprised if he was still around. I've already got JB working in the armory, and I've got a vacancy for Chief of Seg. There's a good man who could do it. But if I had you, Ryan Carter, the man who traveled shotgun with the legendary Traitor, to have both you and JB on the team would make me invincible. In fact, that's just what I need. Think about it.
Xander rose to leave. There was something about the way Xander talked that suggested to Ryan that he was not planning on no for an answer. That could be a big problem. Ryan didn't know who the other man in the running might be, but he sure as hell noticed the looks they all got from the limping healer, Grant, as he left with the Baron.